I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address in a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the
Hannah Stanley, that is Lord with Royals. I'm filling in tonight for Matt Bubala. I'll be with you for another 24 minutes. And I'm thrilled to be joined by broadcaster Paul Coit, calling in from the UK. Paul, good morning to you.
How are you?
I'm delightful. Thank you so much for taking time and in joining me this morning for you.
It's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you so much and Happy New Year, sir.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. Are we allowed to say that yet? Because it's that horrible time, isn't it, between Christmas and New Year, and we don't really know what whether to say that. I think it is New Year somewhere in the world already, isn't it?
I'm believing Sydney. I'm going to...
They're already in, are they? Okay,
we're
fine,
pretending. Because... We'll pretend.
Yeah, Happy New Year to Sydney. I don't know about you, but it's the thing we always have is that it's as soon as Sydney have their New Year, then the news is just full of their fireworks on the Harbour Bridge. They might as well just show the pictures from about 10 years ago, because it's the same thing every year. But we'll have to put up with that until it's our New Year, so we've got a little time to wait, too.
A little time. I'm going to go home and sleep for a little bit after this, and then I will wake up and see the Sydney fireworks. They do play them here, because I think they're the first, yes? I'm not sure.
I think maybe they should change the time zones around every year. Just to, you know what I mean? Just to vary around a bit, don't you?
Keep it fresh. Keep it fresh.
Because you're always towards the end, and I just think it's unfair.
It doesn't seem appropriate, does it? No. No, at least we're not L.A.
Well, if I could just add to it.
Yes, sir, Roger. This is Roger, our newsman.
Hi, Paul.
Hello, Roger.
Hi. Tonga beat Australia.
Oh, Tonga.
Yeah, Tonga. I mean, let's not... New Zealand...
Let's not forget them.
Actually, the parts of Russia you can see from Alaska. and then at 7 o'clock this morning, Chicago time.
Okay.
Which will be in about
in
two hours and 22 minutes.
Yes.
Much of Australia.
All right. Okay. Well, so yes, we
and
can
Hawaii
say.
Hawaii is last. Is that right? It's over the Hawaiian Islands are the last ones.
I believe so.
That's in a couple of months' time, I think. Like, 2017.
That's in April for us. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So the reason I wanted to make sure I got time to speak with you, because there have been many, many developments in the past, let's say, week, but also few months within the royal family.
Right.
And we Americans, and I'm going to say that generally because I'm just talking about me, I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated by the
you
royal
speak for the nation as far as I'm concerned.
Yes,
Anna,
thank
you.
Thank you. We're best friends already. So I am fascinated and have been, of course, our nation loved Diana. And then now Catherine. She's
fine.
Marvelous. And the children, good Lord, the children, could not be any cuter. But things that have changed recently in the royal family, let's start with the fact that Prince Harry is dating an American.
Yes.
How is this being, I know how it is being received over here. People are thinking, we didn't know he had a chance. That's something. But how are the English people taking this?
Well, we're a bit concerned about it because I know how you felt about, there was talk about the Russians involved in the cyber warfare as far as Donald Trump got that's how we feel. We think the Russians have got involved with cyber online dating. We think it's probably they have pushed her towards him, and we're getting a little bit concerned about it, to be honest with you, Anna.
So you're not saying she's a spy, but she might be.
Well, yeah, all I think is that I think it's the Russians. He's probably gone online dating, and the Russians have manipulated some of the online material and pushed her towards him. So that's what we're worried that possibly could be coming out in the next couple of months.
Now, how does this play out if this, and we have seen him be very serious with women before,
yes.
Women who they actually were hoping he would propose to. How does this affect anything if he does, in fact, marry her?
I don't, to be honest with you, I don't think it affects anything, not in this day and age. There's always talk about, is he going to marry her? Is he gonna... people are a lot more relaxed about it. I say people are. It's probably the hierarchy, which are the ones that have been, oh, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and this is a disgrace. It's the royal family. It's taken a long time, I think, the royal family to change with the times.
Yes.
Because, as you can imagine, they live in their bubble. They've got this royal bubble. And the people that work around them, all the advisors, so many people have been with the royal family for so many years. So it's kind of difficult for them to sense what reality is all about outside this royal bubble. Yeah, they try to, but it's in my opinion, it's very, very difficult. But things are changing, especially with the new royals, and this is what's made such a difference to everything, and I think things are changing. And I really don't think anybody's worried about it, to be honest with you. And also, it's early days, so who knows? Do you think it sounds like it's on the verge of marriage already, then, do you think?
Oh, goodness, no. No.
No.
If he follows in William's footsteps... I mean, they dated very seriously and then broke up very seriously. And now they have they're married and have tremendously gorgeous children.
Absolutely.
And of course, we're talking about Catherine. She just exudes class and grace. I adore her.
Actually, interesting story about Catherine. I don't know whether you saw this over the last couple of days. This shows how desperate the press are for stories about the royal family. She had some plasters. What do you call plasters? Band-aids, right?
Yes.
Some plasters on your hand. So she had a couple of plasters. There was a plaster on her hand, band-aid, sorry. And as she was going into, I think it was as she was going into church for Christmas Day, the people were, what's the plaster for? What's she done to her hand? Because she had one on her hand the other day. And it actually went as far as Buckingham Palace, who then had to release a statement saying, we have no comment on the plaster. As if to think, I mean, it's like you just probably cut your hand a bit, but no, it's turned into a thing now.
Good Lord. Yeah, I can get a paper cut and I'll put what I will now refer to as plasters on my hand.
A plaster.
Yeah.
Well, what do you call a plaster, though? What would a plaster be for you? Or is there something completely different?
No, band-aids.
Okay.
If we're discussing the same thing, I mean, just the little like, oh yeah, Lise, who is my producer, who you spoke to earlier, she spent 6 months abroad in England, and so she is telling me, yes, in fact, it's a Band-Aid. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, even if it is not the actual Band-Aid brand, they're bandages, but everybody calls them Band-Aids.
Okay, fine. That's something I've learned, though. I'll be going into 2017 with that, because if I cut my hand next time in America and I end up bleeding around, at least I'll know how to stop it now.
Yes. You know which aisle to look for when you go to the Walgreens.
Yes.
And I know where I need to go if I am in England.
You do. See? We're
this
all
is people
here.
Helping people. So so now we have these lovely, lovely children who are coming up. And it seems that the Queen is sort of, and she still made her Christmas address, which is a lovely tradition, but she was a little bit ill. She was under the weather. So was the Duke. They were not able to travel when they were scheduled to for their Christmas holiday.
Yep.
So they're in their 90s. Paul.
I know where you're going. I know what you're saying. They're getting on.
God save the Queen.
Yes,
what's
I
the
know.
Speculation?
I'm strong enough to talk about this. It's been a while, but yeah, they're in their 90s now, and of course, you know, things are going to end at some point. When, we have no idea, but it was a cold. So she's at Sandringham. They always go to a place called Sandringham in Norfolk for Christmas, and it's been the tradition. You know, that's what we do, this tradition thing, pretty good. So it's been since, goodness knows, the beginning of time. They always go to Sandringham for Christmas. They'll go to Balmoral in Scotland during the summer.
It's so Downton Abbey.
Exactly. it's so that, you know. And so so she was a day late. She was a day late going there because she had a cold and she was a bit under the weather. But they are there now. Don't worry, they are there. So I think she'll be okay. But
well, that woman is so
here.
Delightful.
The Queen?
Yes. I very much admire
I've never
her.
I've referred to her as a woman before. She's more than a woman. She's the Queen.
You're right. The Queen is delightful.
She's not even a human being.
You're right. You're right. I apologize. She's up there with
the
Pope.
Okay. I hope you're standing as you're making these comments.
Absolutely. As far as you know. I do appreciate what she has done and how they have evolved. And I find that she has really loosened up quite a bit. Well, she hasn't, you know, the handbag still matches the shoes, but she's allowed so much more with the princes, really, than I could have imagined Charles being allowed to. And now, now we have Charles, who is next in line. Is there any possibility they will skip him?
Well, I don't know. Steve Cochran, who is my very good friend, of course, and Steve has been saying for years, I've known Steve for like 25 years, and whenever he would speak to me on the phone, the phrase was, and this is going back 20 years, when will Chuck get the hat? And it seems to be, I don't know whether Chuck is going to get the hat, so I don't know. Well, are they going to skip it? Who knows? I reckon your guess is as good as mine. It all depends how long, you know, the Queen's going to stay alive for. I think it wouldn't make it. I'm sure it will be Charles. I'm sure it would be Charles because William's still young. For what reason would they skip Charles? It doesn't really make any sense. So I'm sure Chuck will get the hat eventually. It's just when, obviously, that's going to be. But he's been the longest king in waiting in British history, because it's been a very, very long time now.
Well, and because the Queen became Queen at such a young age, so she's been reigning 52. For forever.
Yeah, 1952. So she was crowned in 53. So she took over from Queen Victoria as the longest reigning monarch, you know, a couple of years back. And, you know, let's face it, Prince Charles ain't going to beat that.
No, that's not going to happen in any manner at all. I know that the sentiment of the people, they're very fond of William and Catherine from what we hear over here.
He does a lot of normal things. There's talk about, you know, it's difficult. I mean, we're talking about one of the world's most famous people. Mm-hmm. So obviously you can't go to the supermarket, although she has been seen in the supermarket.
Yes.
And Prince William was a story a couple of years ago. It was a friend of mine was playing soccer in the middle of London. And he's mid-20s, and they have teams, and then they just, and he said, I was playing football. He goes, you won't believe it, but Prince William was playing on the other team. And he said, everybody was like, look, nothing was said. And everybody looked at each other as if to think, is that him? And it was like, yes, it is him. Because then there was a royal minder standing over near the pitch, just keeping an eye on things. And he does that. But, of course, it's unannounced, and nobody expects it. So they do these things as much as they possibly can. But, obviously, it is difficult.
There was a story here a few years ago where William and Prince Harry were in the States for the wedding of a friend of theirs who they went to school with. And they flew commercial on their way back. They left wherever, let's say Atlanta, and they had to have a connecting flight before they could go across the pond. And they were sitting on a Delta airplane. Prince William was sitting on a Delta airplane. And people, just normal people, were getting on board going, oh golly, that's the prince.
So do you reckon, what would you think if you saw that? I think the first thing you'd think is, oh, it looks just like him.
Right.
Because surely he would never be on here.
He would never be on a commercial airplane.
But then what do you do? See, I think...
This is a safe plane, because that's not going to... Like, they're going to not let anything bad happen to him.
Yeah, that happened to me once. I actually flew to Argentina once. I went away to Argentina, and sitting across from me was the Archbishop of Canterbury, who is probably the highest religious figure below the Queen in the whole of the country. And there was, and I swear this is true, there was turbulence, and it was quite nasty. I looked over and I thought, yeah, he looks fine. I think I'll be okay. So I think, and I swear this is the truth. Then the funniest thing is that he came with his, all dressed up like the Archbishop of Canterbury, and then he changed into one of those sleeper suits. And I couldn't help staring. And I'm looking at this guy, and he's looking back at me. Is he stalking me? And I'm thinking, no, Archbishop, it's just that you just don't look right without the cross outside the sleeper suit.
It's like seeing the Pope in his pajamas.
It's exactly it. That's exactly it.
I don't know what kind of...
You kind of get used to it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no. Yeah. I think the Pope should probably sleep in Pope clothes.
Maybe he does.
Wouldn't that be great?
Saying that. He probably actually does. Because the Pope clothes... But then again, it's probably like wearing a bed in itself, all that stuff. So when you lay down, you're probably pretty much tucked up.
You're just all cozy.
Cozy. Aligned, everything. I'm sure it's very comfortable.
Joining me is broadcaster Paul Coit. You, of course, can tell that he is from across the pond. Joining me from the UK, where it is morning on New Year's Eve. Paul, do you have a few more moments? I'd love to hear what the plans are in London for New Year's Eve.
Yes, of course.
One moment, please. Thank you so much. Hannah Stanley.
Thank you very much.
Hannah Stanley filling in for Matt Bubala. More after this on WGN. Hannah Stanley wrapping up the 4 o'clock hour. Joining me on the phone from England is broadcaster Paul Coit. You've heard him on with Steve Cochran, and now you get to hear him on with me. And how delightful. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure, and lovely to hear the Sex Pistols, God Save the Queen. I haven't heard that in a few years.
Thank you for knowing that, because I was rocking out.
Did you Google Queen songs? Is that how you did that?
Lise said earlier, I said, play Royals, and she was like, great, and I'll also go with the Sex Pistols. And I was like,
there you go.
You need to do that. That's awesome.
Light and shade. Light and shade.
Oh, I love it. I love it. This is something fascinating to me, because we don't get much coverage. How is the celebration in London for New Year's Eve?
It's great. We have a really, really good one. And huge fireworks, which are by the London Eye, you know, the big wheel.
Sure.
They ticket it, and I'm still not sure how, you know, you get tickets actually to get close, but obviously you see it all from a long way away.
Mm-hmm.
But years ago, it's only probably been since the millennium was when we had fireworks, because years before that, what everybody would do, and I remember doing it as a teenager, and you go into the middle of London, and everybody would congregate around Big Ben, because obviously Big Ben is very famous, you know, for the clock and the bell going off and when it strikes midnight. So that's where you'd go. You congregate around there and then go up to Trafalgar Square, which is about, you know, 400-500 yards away, and people would just hang around, but nothing was open. There were no fireworks. They would even go on the news and TV and say, look, we don't advise anybody to come into London because there's nothing to do. And it was, you couldn't get back because the underground was stopped running. You could have to wait for a night bus, and you'd stand in the freezing cold and get... So it was dreadful, but we all did it. Goodness knows why. I've no idea why. So then they decided, when the millennium, it was an amazing firework display when it turned 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So then, from then on, they call it the Mayor's Firework Display, and then they just have this huge firework. Because obviously, like we said about Sydney, it's a big thing. The whole world is going to see you. So the better you make it, then, you know, it's great for the city and great for the country. So it's a big old firework display, and that's pretty much it. And that'll be happening. So how many hours away are we? Are we still got a few hours yet? We're about 13 hours away.
Yeah, I don't ever remember, except for on 1999 into 2000, seeing anything from London. And I guess from what you're telling me is there was no reason to see it. There was nothing to see.
No.
Yeah.
So you get to see the Sydney stuff,
right.
And then we're all forgotten.
That's not fair.
So I suppose it's like six in the with 6 hours. So I suppose six in the evening. Yeah. Oh, what a shame. They do a lovely job. I mean, it really is. It's incredible fireworks.
Yeah, you're the mother country. We should give some respect to that.
I think so. Do they show the Eiffel Tower the hour before? When is it just the Sydney things you see?
Yes, and then we are just completely immersed in New York coverage.
Right. Okay.
And that's the problem.
I still don't understand this ball drop thing. It just for me, what's going on there? What about Chicago? What's the best thing? Because I love Chicago. I absolutely adore Chicago. But is there one place that everybody's going to go to?
Well, funny that you should mention that. It's actually right behind me. They started this tradition last year, and it's horribly named. It's called Chi-Town Rising. No one here calls it Chi-Town. That's just... silly.
Right.
It would be like me going to London and saying L Town. No one says that. So Chi-Town Rising is something they started. This is the second year, and it's directly across the river from us. And it is a gigantic 75-foot star that goes up along one of the hotels on the river. And it's all illuminated. And now there's LED screens and there's social media presence and blah, blah, blah. And so it takes about 3 minutes to ascend, which I like. I like the symbolism. And the star is modeled after this one of we have four stars on our Chicago flag. So that's symbolic. I enjoy that. And I like the symbolism of the ascension. It takes about 3 minutes. And then at that point, fireworks.
Right. Okay.
Boom.
So what happened before that? Was there was nowhere for everybody to go then?
People would go to Navy Pier because there's fireworks like four times a week at Navy Pier. And so they would.
So nothing special because it always happens.
Right. Exactly. So no, you're absolutely right. Nothing really happened. What happened was a big, huge collective sigh because New York had already turned. And then we were like, all right, now what? And then we all just went to bed.
Yeah, of course.
And now it's a thing.
Oh, well, good. Oh, well, I'm glad it's going to be a thing. You can't really call it a tradition yet, though, can you?
No, no.
It's only like the second year.
It's the second year.
I don't know how long it takes before you can call it tradition. Is it like 50 years?
Around here.
Is the word tradition?
around here, as long as it doesn't catch on fire, maybe 5-10 years. I don't know.
Okay, Cubs, I think it's a good thing. At least you're doing something.
The Cubs won the World Series, and now they're thinking that's a tradition. So we'll see.
It's a tradition, next year. Yeah, it's a tradition. We won the World Series, so therefore, we're going to be.
Broadcaster Paul Coit joins me from England. Thank you so much for your time and your insight on your Royals. I'm fascinated by them. Thank you. I hope to talk to you again soon. And please enjoy this. I mean this as soon as you actually officially hit it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And thank you very much for speaking to me and have a lovely time.
You as well. Thank you so much. Hannah Stanley here. This is WGN.